Well, thank God for a beautiful day, amen? It's the day the Lord hath made. We're going to do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. For the next few moments this morning, I'm going to talk to you about a miracle. A miracle that happened in a place known as Death Valley. And we're going to look at it from Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, starting with verse 1. Listen to these words. This is written by the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Now, I want you to try to picture this in your mind as we read through this account. So it's a big valley. In this valley, the Bible says, what he began to see was all of these bones, full of bones, human bones, by the way. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Very likely this morning, there are many of you that find yourself walking through a valley of dry bones, much like that of the prophet Ezekiel. The decaying and even putrefying remains of what was once alive and well now eerily surround you. Things have gone from bad to worse in your life, and there's little or no hope at all in sight. This was the condition of Israel at the time that these were penned by Ezekiel. The Jews, including Ezekiel himself, was living in exile there in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, as you all remember, conquered Judah, which was the southern kingdom, city by city, hauling the Jews away into captivity. Their last memories of Judah, of their home, Jerusalem, were the sounds of the battering rams against the massive walls of Jerusalem. For a Jew, as long as Jerusalem and the temple survived, there remained a hope of national revival and the restoration of the Jewish people. Jerusalem, however, now was in ruins. The temple had been looted and burned to the ground. The Jewish people had been scattered. They'd been scattered all throughout Babylon. And their national and their religious identity had been utterly destroyed. But God had a plan. Friend, I am so glad that when things look the bleakest in the midst of it all, we can quiet ourselves and hear that God has a plan. And whatever you're facing this morning, I want you to know God has a plan. Now, I want you to consider with me, first of all, Ezekiel's walk through Death Valley. Look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth amongst them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. The dry bones that we are reading about here, they represent the death of a nation. That is the death of the Jewish nation of Israel. And it was a time of hopelessness for the people of Israel. They had been scattered all throughout Babylon in this valley, you might say. And Ezekiel says in verse 2 that the Spirit of the Lord then led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. The Spirit of the Lord literally walked Ezekiel back and forth, round and round, in this nauseating sight in the valley of dry bones. The reason being is that God was not going to allow Ezekiel to take just one quick peek and then say, I've seen, I understand, let's be on our way. To that end, God walked him about the bones long enough to get a full, sickening stomach full. You see, God wanted to etch this picture on Ezekiel's heart, this scene, and on his heart and mind so it would stay forever. You know, how often we only want to take a quick peek at the things in life that seem disturbing. We want to take just a quick peek at our city. We want to hear just a little teeny tiny bit about the dry bones of human trafficking and precious women that are being subjugated and their lives being destroyed. We want to hear just a little teeny tiny bit about the scourge of drugs. We want to hear just so little about the murders that happen in our city. You know, after a few moments of uncomfortable newscasts, we're tempted to get up and to change the channel because we don't want to fully see what is happening round about us. And we want to kind of kid ourselves into that life, at least for us, is quite good. It's quite peachy. And as a result of that, others may have their problems. The city has their problems. There are those that have their drug problems. There are women that are being subjugated and sold off as sex slaves around the world. Well, that's kind of all out of mind, out of sight, far away. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came and literally took him and made him walk amongst these dry bones. And when I say walk amongst the dry bones, if you read this in the Hebrew language would say it this way. They walked amongst the ruins, the once living beings, amongst all of their skeletal remains. They were dry, no life within them. But it was a constant reminder of what they once were. And back and forth, and back and forth. And it actually means even to go in circles. God was saying, I want you to get a good look at this, Ezekiel. I want you to see this and not just pass it off as, well, there's nothing that can be done about this. I want you to see. And friends, I believe the Spirit of God wants us to see their cities. He wants us to see our nation. He wants us to get a good look at our home, at our marriages, our children, and not just to pass them off. Now listen to the question that God asks as he walks them amongst these many, many bones on this desert floor in this valley. In verse 3, here's what God is saying. Having seen now what you have seen, Ezekiel, having seen it, and having walked amongst these dry bones time and time again, Son of man, can these bones live? Will there ever be life again in these dry bones? Will this nation ever be revived? Will the Jewish people ever come back to Jerusalem? Will the temple ever be rebuilt? Take a good look, and now I'm asking you, as I've walked you amongst the bones, and you've seen all of this death, and you've seen the hopelessness of the hour, will these bones ever live again? They're bleached. They're disjointed. They're scattered. Will they ever live? Will they ever breathe again? Now, friends, I believe the Spirit of God is asking us some of the same questions this morning. I believe He's here and He's asking, can your marriage, can your family, can your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, can your neighborhood, can your city, can your nation live again? And some of you are asking even this question in a more personal way this morning. Some of you have asked of yourself as you've looked in the mirror this past week, and as you have been driving and contemplating those moments alone, and you've wondered, will I ever live again? Will my joy ever return? Will I ever be on fire for God again like I once was? Is this the way I will be forever? Will I be these dried up bones of what I once was? Is my family and the family life and the marriage I've had and all the relationships, is it dry bones? Is it dead? Is it over? Is that all that's left? Ezekiel, God is asking, Ezekiel, what's your prognosis? You've been walking amongst the dry bones. You've seen them scattered. Now tell me, can these bones live again? Look at verse 3. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Now here's his response. I said, O sovereign God, you alone know. You see, Ezekiel's response was more than, Lord, you're the only one that knows the answer to this question. But rather, when he makes this statement, he is saying, Lord, you are the only one that can make this happen. And I believe that not only can you make it happen, I believe you will make it happen. These bones will live again. You see, dear friends, I'm so glad to stand before you this morning, not knowing what death, what destruction, what bones are in your life. But this I do know, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And God asks the question, after walking him through the carnage, walking through this valley of death and destruction and, you know, the dismemberment of bodies, a head over here and a foot over here and, you know, all of these disjointed, dried out, bleached body parts, these bones out in the desert, shall they live again? And his response, it sounds as though, God, you're the only one that knows that. But in reality, what he is saying is, yes, they can live again. It's up to you, God. I can't do it, but you can. And I've done what I can do. I've walked amongst them. I've viewed, I've seen, I've felt. But I cannot do anything about this. I cannot put broken bones back together again. I cannot make that which is dead come alive. But I know that my God can. Hallelujah. And I want you to know there's nothing too hard for the Lord our God. And so there is a command that is given now. And this command was the command to prophesy. Look at verses 4 through 7. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to what? Say it. Life. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, this was not a command to predict, but rather an injunction to utter the divine promise and power of God. I want you to prophesy. I want you to look at these dead bones, and I want you to tell these dead bones, the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that has all power in heaven and on earth, he is declaring, you will live again. You know, obedience to the command of God was all that was required of Ezekiel in that moment. Now, without a doubt, it's always better if you believe what you declare. However, all that was necessary for Ezekiel in this moment was out of simple obedience to proclaim the word of the Lord. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and it not come to pass? It is simply filled question after question. Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? And as you look at this valley of death, you look at things that seem hopeless. In those moments, I want you to understand, my word will come to pass. The promise of new life in the death valley was not based on the level of Ezekiel's faith, but rather on the greatness of God. And friends, there will be times in your life where there's going to be doubts inside of your life. Remember the young man that was brought by his father and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You ever been there? You've said the right things, but deep inside your heart, you're saying, I'm not sure how this is going to work out. I'm not sure how this will ever come to pass. And think about it for a moment, a valley that is filled with dried bones, dismantled corpses and pieces here and there. And he says, they will live again, just believe me. Yes, bones shriveled, disjointed, scattered. They're going to come together and they're going to live again at the command of God. Now, let me ask you this morning, what promise is it that God has given to you this day in the midst of your walk through the valley of dry bones? Possibly it's your family. Maybe it's your marriage. You might be barren this morning and there's a promise of a baby like Hannah of old. The salvation of your household. That job that you've been seeking. The financial miracle that you need. How about the block on which you live? And you've walked around that block and you've prayed for every mailbox as you walk by, representing the home and the life of the individuals. Be obedient. Let me encourage you today, be obedient and speak the word of the Lord. Your situation, whatever that situation of hopelessness is, has spoken to you long enough. It's time for you to speak to the dry bones. The dry bones, they spoke every time when he walked amongst them of hopelessness, despair, it's over, the nation is done for, there will be no future, there is no hope. And yes, it may be bad. And no, there may be no hope in the natural. But our hope is in the unfailing Lord, our God. Dry bones, live. Now, friends, let me encourage you. Quit operating in the fear of how you may look if it doesn't come to pass. There's a lot of things in life I think that we would have done, we should have done, and we would have seen success in that. And we would have seen the hand of God come alongside and do the miraculous, but out of fear of how we would look if it didn't take place, we did not step out on faith. I think it took a lot of faith for Ezekiel to go down and see this valley full of bones and say, the Lord says, you're going to get back together again. And you're going to breathe and you're going to be alive once again. And as a nation, you're going to know the blessing of God. And you are going to once again inhabit the city of Jerusalem. And you will have your temple back. And all of these promises. Be obedient. Declare the word of the Lord. And in verse 7, it says this, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. I simply obeyed the Lord in this matter. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. Now let's look at the miracle. Look at verses 7 through 10. The miracle that took place in Death Valley. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, I want that to really stick to your spiritual bones today, all right? And as I was prophesying, it was instantaneous. It was at the moment that he was prophesying and declaring what God was about to do with these dry bones. As he was prophesying, I love asking people, you know, what moment did you feel like you had that, you know, that breakthrough in your life? At what moment did you receive your healing? At what moment did things turn around in the hospital? Because so often what I find, it's at the very moment that we've been praying for that individual. As we pray in the services on Sunday morning, over these lists that are always on the screens, it is phenomenal how many times at the very moment we're uniting together in prayer, as we're praying, God is at work. And it's happening on, you know, every morning of the week as our staff gets together and as we pray every single morning for your needs and for this congregation and for our community and for the needs in our community and for individuals that we have heard in the news that are going through great tragedy and sorrows in their life. As we're praying and as we follow up, so often we find at the very moment we're releasing our faith in prayer, God comes down. Go back to what it says now. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He was obedient. It seemed hopeless. It seemed almost foolish. What would people think of me standing there, you know, confessing over a whole bunch of bones that are going to live again? He set all of that aside. And so as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I would have loved to have been there. There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, that is the Lord God said to him, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now look at the sequence there. It's rather interesting. As he was proclaiming the word of the Lord over these bones, the Bible says, as he was doing so, there was a noise. The word there for noise in the scriptures there is literally a thundering. So in this valley, there was a thundering that took place. A few years ago, I was in Israel, and I was down by the Sea of Galilee, and we were in the hotel, and it was during the middle of the night when suddenly the hotel began to shake. And it was not an earthquake. At first, the thought that came to my mind is Israel is under attack, and the Syrians are firing across the Sea of Galilee. And that was the first thought that came. But then I came to realize there was bolts of lightning as I looked outside. It was not, you know, the fire of weaponry, but rather it was, you know, nothing more than an electrical storm and a thunderstorm. But in that valley, in this deep valley where the Sea of Galilee is located, it literally was shaking. The building was shaking. It was a phenomenal sound. It was deafening. And so in this valley, the Bible says, there was a noise. As he was proclaiming the word of the Lord, there was a noise. There was a thundering. There was a loud sound, is what the Hebrew is saying. Some theologians believe that it was possibly even a foretaste of the trump of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall be gathered together with the Lord in the sky, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And some believe that it was a little foretaste of what is going to happen one day. There is going to be a sound. And friends, let me tell you, there is going to be a rattling. Every one of the graves, whether it's in the sea, whether it's on land, whether it's been cremation, whatever it has been, it's all going to come back together again. And I say this on the basis of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so there was a shaking. There was this shaking like that of an earthquake. Then it started to happen. Bones started coming together. Each and every bone finding its proper place. I would just say parenthetically, Steven Spielberg, step aside. You can't match this one. This is the genuine power of God at work. And he's going to make all of what mankind has tried to make look so big and so magnificent, going to look like nothing compared to that day when the bones all come together. First, the skeletons came together. Then the Bible says the muscle and the tendons began to reattach, followed by skin and flesh. Now, at this point, they looked like a department store mannequin. Their bodies were all back together again. They were all physically complete, but they lacked one critical thing. What was it? Breath, which is also known as life. Look at verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Now, all throughout Scripture, whenever you read of breath, you read about wind, it is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, friends, is the life that God sends. It is the life of God through the Spirit. And every Christian, I believe, needs the life of the Holy Spirit within them in order to be fully, completely alive. And so there they were. They were all back together again. And it seemed as though this miracle was only going to go as far as bones back together again, skin and flesh and all of that, but no life within them. And then the winds came. And I would declare to you, it's not just normal wind. It is the wind of the Spirit. And when the wind of the Spirit began to blow over those corpses, they suddenly, the Bible said, they came alive. Friends, modern Israel is a miracle of divine resurrection. These bones in the valley of death represented the children of Israel. They were taken away from Jerusalem, taken away from Judah, taken away from their homeland. They were placed as strangers, foreigners, and slaves in Babylon. Born a slave, live a slave, die a slave, little to no hope at all. And every day when you get up, it was the same routine, somebody else guiding your life, telling you what to do, and all of this. These dry bones that we read about this morning, these dry bones of Israel that have been scattered not only at the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, when he came and took them out of their homeland, took them to Babylon. This has happened a number of times throughout history, that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, have been scattered. And for many years, the land of Israel was under the domination of the Gentiles. But then there was a day when God put the breath of life back into Israel. And the Bible says, when you see this begin to take place, when you see the homecoming, when you see Israel beginning to regather from where they've been scattered all over the Baltics, all over Europe, and all over the world, when you see them gathering back together once again, you can know you are living in the last moments of time. And so we have before us A modern miracle, the modern miracle of the resurrection of Israel itself. And these dry bones are alive and well today. Now let me ask you, what hopeless situation are you facing this morning? What is it that you look at much like Ezekiel looked at the valley full of these dry bones? What is it you look at and said, you know, God, I can't seem to come up with enough faith to believe this will ever work out. It seems over. And you've even begun to accept this is just the way it's going to be. What is it that you feel as you walk through this death valley this morning of your own life? In the midst of it all, whatever you're facing, I want you to take the pattern of what we've just read from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. First of all, I want you to get a word from the Lord. And once you get that word from the Lord, you hold on to it. The enemy wants to rob it away by unbelief, by disbelief, by challenges, by worry, by fret of what people may think of us, even stepping out in faith. For those of you who have not seen breakthrough, this mother went into the ER where her son was laid out dead. And the statistics, which we won't bother with this morning, we will later on, there was no hope. This mommy, Assembly of God mommy, that knew that this son, which had been adopted out of the Assemblies of God program of Latin America, Latin American child care. She knew this child was a gift from God. And though it was hopeless in every realm, doctors had everyone else, they'd done what they could do. Friends, I want you to know, when you reach the end of what you can do, God is still there and He can do anything. Get a word from the Lord. Speak the word. And as Ezekiel spoke the word, as he was doing it, there was this rumbling. I can't imagine what that must have felt like. The ground is now shaking beneath him. That would be absolutely, I'd be faster than lightning getting out of there. That would be a scary moment to watch bones flying. This one connecting with that one, and that one flying over to get to that one, and that head comes from over there, and that skull, and all of this stuff flying together. Then all of a sudden, a watch, and it's beginning to form, not only physically, but you can see not only the superstructure, the bones, but now the physical being all coming together. When God gives you a word, speak it. Speak it. Do not be afraid. I believe that God would do so much if we would set aside our fear. And the fear that we would speak and that nothing would happen. Speak the word. Seems hopeless? Speak the word. When God gives you a word, hold on to it. When you're fearful, speak the word. When it seems hopeless, speak the word. When the doctors say it's over, speak the word. When they say that there's foreclosure, speak the word. When they say there's no job available, speak the word. When your kids are wayward, speak the word. Speak the word. Hold on to it. When you get a word from the Lord, and most of the time you're going to get it right from here, that's where it's going to come from. But He may give you a rhema word that is something unique and special for you. Hold on to it. Hold on. Don't let anyone rob your family away. Don't let anyone rob your peace, your joy, your hope. You feel like, wow, I mean, we're scattered. Family I once had, and it could be your extended family, not your you're present, you know, family you live under the same roof with at this moment, but it may be your extended family saying, I don't know what's happened. We're just bones here, there, everywhere. The family, for all practical purposes, is dead. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, it's not something like that that's died off in my life. But I feel so dead inside of my soul. There was a time when I felt so on fire for God, so alive, so full of the Spirit. But I feel so empty today. My mind goes back to Jerusalem. When we lived in Jerusalem, the city was a city of God. The temple was beautiful. And they would come at all the high holy days from all around the region. And the city was filled with the blessing of God and the presence of God. I remember what it was like, is what Ezekiel is saying. But look at it now. It's all bones. It's dead. It seems in the natural to be over. And the Lord says, Ezekiel, come here. I'm going to take you for a walk. And you're going to take a good long look. Not just a peek and go your way. But you're going to take a good long hard look until it makes you sick to your stomach. What death and destruction is like. But I'm going to give you in the midst of it all a word. Trust me. Speak the word and watch what God will do. And suddenly the Bible says there rose up in that valley of death an army alive. I believe that God is speaking to you this morning. You're saying, I don't want to live the way I'm living any longer. I can see the signs of the times, and I know that time is short and eternity is long. I understand that. I get that. And you're saying this morning, I need a spiritual resurrection. I need the Spirit of God to breathe on my soul. And some of you are going to receive, in just a few moments here at the altar, you're going to receive, it could be a single word from the Lord. Or it may be a sentence, it may be a portion of Scripture. Is going to say, go speak the word prophesy. Remember, the word prophesy there in that sense means send forth the edict. This is the word of the Lord. Bones dried out, scattered all over. You have no option but to come together and come alive, because I speak not my words, but the word of the Lord. Some of you are going to hear a word, and that word is going to change your forever. And so, here's your moment. They're going to begin to sing. As they begin to sing, I want you to come. I want you just to quiet yourself here. Lord, here's where I'm at. Let him take you on that journey. Let him show you the hopelessness that is the natural side. Then he's going to give to you a word. You come. Let him drop that into your heart. If you've grown cold, you come. Time is short. Eternity is long. Get right with God today. You come.